Okay, our opening scripture this morning, just to follow along, as most of you know, I'm happy that you came back and last week wasn't too heavy. You can handle it. We started our study again on words, and some of you had not heard some of these things maybe ever, or it's been a long time. And so today this opening scripture comes from Psalm 118 and verse 17. And why this is important: our words matter. And the writer of this verse: I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Now, this is for all of you people that say, my back is killing me. Don't say that. Because I don't know what weapon your back is going to choose to kill you, but if you keep saying it, you're going to die of a back. Your back will get you back. Okay? So your testimony, I always get a second opinion. Go to God. He should be your first opinion. All right? The chief physician. But what are you going to say, like when you're standing in faith believing for your healing or your deliverance from something or changes that you want to see happen? But this is talking about life. And I like Faithy's dad's confession compared to what my father used to say. And her dad says, I'm going to live to be 100. And you know what? He acts like he's going to make it. I think he's 92, and you know, he's not quite so spry as he once was, but I'll tell you, boy, you never hear a bad complaint out of him. Never hear a bad word. And he doesn't even come here and learn these things like this, but his attitude is remarkable. And how our confession should change so that it lines up with the word. And I think of this scripture, think about Psalm 91, the last part of that, that God will keep us even in our old age. I mean, he just blesses us with years. He really does. And so many promises. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. So why should we go around and saying, oh, I'm this or I'm that? And now his confession is, I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. That's why testimonies are so important, because it's important to make a declaration of what the Lord has done. It might seem small to you, but if God's in it, it's not small. So as we learn, because for today, I remember I brought some handouts for some of you that might want them, so we can have a little more fun with this later. The silly things that we say, but the danger is, as we all know from the Word, is that our words create. In other words, things become because of what we've said or what we're still saying. And that's why we have to learn to speak right words. And so we're going to learn to take the word and replace, like last week we talked about take care. Now, nobody means wrong by that. It's not said in a wrong way. But when we use those words, the best way is just to say, cast your cares. I mean, how quick can you say that? Cast your care. Because if you're telling people all the time to take care, unknowingly, they could just be going around with all these burdens that have come upon them because you told them to take care. And the word says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. A simple little thing. But words, remember, words create. So all the while we want to be a blessing and we're telling people to take care, we're really not helping out their day. So all of these things are connected. And I think about the words of our testimony. We overcome by the word of our testimony. Right. What words are we speaking? Some people speak words that they've been overcome, and they keep speaking about being overcome. We should turn that around. No, we've not been overcome. Your enemy's been overcome. Your enemy's under your feet. And I don't care how many times you have to get a marker out and write Jesus on the bottom of your feet to remind him of that. So that when you, it might be true, your day may start off bad, but you know what? It doesn't have to end that way. This is the day the Lord has made, and God doesn't make any junk, and he made you, and you're not junk. And he made this day for you. If you were the only person in the whole world, God made this day just for you, so that you could enjoy it and rejoice and be glad in it. And always remember the God factor. What you say may be true, but it's subject to change. Before we start this next segment of our teaching on words, I printed about 15 copies of Speaking Words of Doubt and Unbelief versus Speaking Words that Are in Agreement with God, and I have them side by side so that as we go through these are worthy to take home. And I've got about 14 copies now because somebody's already asked for one of them, and I would like you can share them with those that are seated near you if there's not quite enough. And this is just a small portion of this. And as we go through it, you'll kind of see, oh, you think you're going to get a double portion, huh? Ah. Anybody over here on this side like one as well? I got a plenty. I have more than enough. And if I don't, I know where I can get some more. There you go. Okay. Everybody got another one down here? I got one more going once, going twice. Sold to the highest bidder right there. Hallelujah. You have auctions in the church? Not yet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good?
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Amen. Amen and amen. He's so good, He's going to fix all of our ears today so that we can get through these and enjoy them, but also to glean the importance of what it is that we're going to be speaking. And I introduced to you last week some notes about words, some cautions about words based on Proverbs 18:21, and this was the little graph that we started with about our words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's a very powerful verse of scripture, because you see that even if you go back to Genesis, you see the power of words when God spoke. And everything came into existence. There was nothing before He spoke. And you can go back and read, especially Genesis 1, and God said, and things happened. What He said gave the Holy Spirit something to use, to create with. God had a vision for His creation, but until He spoke it, it never came to pass. Many of us have visions and hopes and dreams for our lives, but unlike God, we don't speak it often enough so that it gives the Holy Spirit something to begin working with in our lives. It's one thing to have a hope or a dream, but when you put words to it and you speak it out of your mouth, that starts the creative power of words. It starts something in motion. And if you find you're in a fix and you don't really quite know how to get out of it, and you might be saying things that are contrary to the word, which is where we're going to look at with that little chart that I just handed out. I'm going to just start there today, and I don't know how far I will get through. I'm probably just going to read down through the 24 that I have. You personally may have heard other things. You might have said other things, but you'll get the gist of it. Speaking words of doubt and unbelief will bind God and His angels. Speaking these words or similar phrases actually gives Satan and demons permission to operate against us. Examples of agreeing with the devil. So here we go. Now, please, don't let the enemy put any condemnation. We're learning together. We're learning how to replace words that have got us in trouble in times past. So, number one, I tried it and it didn't work for me. And I added after I had these all typed up, or I tried it and it's getting worse. You know, they just keep popping up. We're so familiar with how we're speaking from the unrenewed part of our minds. And that's where these kind of things come from, because once our minds are renewed to the Word, and God doesn't renew our minds to the Word, He gives us the Word, and we're to renew our minds to the Word. That's why we're a Word church, so that we can learn and grow together and be people of strong faith. Oh yeah, verse 2, it's getting worse. I thought I had it in there, yep. I prayed and it didn't work out. I'll never get ahead. I'll never get these debts paid. I'll never have the money to make the car payment. Oh gosh, those are so good. Y'all can see it up there with binoculars. You just watch. We'll lose our car. It's flu season. I always get it. That's a good one, because I hear that every year at flu season. I can always tell because people start confessing it before I ever see the flu. Because when the flu comes my way, it continues to fly by. It flew by. I've never had the flu in my life, and I'm never going to have the flu. It has no place on my body. It find no place to rest, because it's going to be just flying on by to those that are expecting it. My kids are always acting up. Boy, are we going to have fun with that. My husband or wife will never change. You see how you speak curses on people talking like that? You bind God from working in their lives by saying stuff like that. Now, on the surface, that seems very harmless. But the truth of the matter is, we're creating with those words. We're putting things in motion. We're setting things in motion that's going to cause these words to come to pass. I'm afraid so. You could turn that around and say, I'm so afraid. Oh my, you hear the weather people talking that talk all the time. Oh, I'm afraid there's going to be a big storm in Oklahoma. Great, move to Texas. Here's another one. I hope so. You pray for somebody and believe in faith, we'll use your faith together and say, well, I hope so. Oh, I hope it works. Rub your hands 3 times and spit on your left thumb and it'll probably work. That's about how much faith there is in stuff. Well, I mean, you know, I said we were going to have fun with this, because a little humor goes a long ways, because you can see the silliness of things that we've said, but you also see the other side of that. That just tickles me to death. What a way to go. That scares me to death. That's not a good way to go. I've been with people that died in fear because they didn't know the Lord. I was there when they took their last breath. And if you could see the horror on their face and their eyes bulging out of their head wide open because they died in absolute fear. It's horrible. There's nothing pretty about it. And you can't make a pretty movie about death. It just ain't happening. Then I've been with Christians that see the angels, and they can hardly wait to pass out of this life and into the next. And they're so at peace. And they express that. Some have seen the angels of the Lord, the ones that the Lord sends an angel to accompany them on their journey. That's very comforting. That's very peaceful. That's very precious, and it's very real. That really kills me. Verse number 15. Did I have that one up there, number 15? Oh, I've updated the list. Okay. I'll give it the new version next week with the correct spelling. See? I love it. Oh, my God. There we go. My back is killing me. We opened with that this morning. Take care. Mm-hmm. I'll never amount to anything. I'm too tired to go to church. I don't buy that one. You can sit 3 right across the front and there's no armrests. Flop right out there if you want. You can snooze all you want, but you know what? The Holy Ghost is still going to hear everything, and your spirit will still receive. So don't get to where you can't come because you're too tired to come. He'll fall off his bike and break his neck. Having to do with little ones, you know, after they take the training wheels off. Roller blades, he'll fall and break his arm or leg. These I've heard in our neighborhood, right in our neighbors. I hear them yelling at their kids. You better watch out, you'll fall off that thing and break your neck. And I says, thump. You expect the meat wagon to come any minute to pick him up. You know, fell off his bike and broke his neck. That's pretty serious. Get out the stiff board. Whatever you call it, Bill's not here. He knows what that board is, so you know you don't do any more damage to your kids. What is it? A flat board?
Backboard.
Oh, backboard. Oh, that's for the one where their back killed him. Okay. The devil's been after me all week. Now, that's a very popular confession. And the more you confess it, he'll be waiting next week because the new week starts tomorrow. So if he got away with it all this week and you open your mouth and say stuff like that, guess who he's going to be looking for in the morning before you even have coffee? Oh, boy. I'm going to get the credit to mess this week up, too. I got away with it last week. He, the devil, comes and fouls up everything. Interestingly, in the scriptures, he's called the fowler. He's just doing what he's... That's all he knows to do. Good grief. My favorite Charlie Brown line, good grief. Silly little things. But my, how quick... How quick. I've read a book called Hung by the Tongue. I've read another one. Yeah, that's the name of the book, Hung by the Tongue. The tongue, a creative force. Wonderful, wonderful sources of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that have been made available. Kenneth Hagin's little book on words. You're just going to hear Rick's condensed version of all of the above. So glean out of it what you can, what applies. If it doesn't, just put it on the shelf, okay? By speaking these words of the like, we've come into agreement with Satan and established his words on the earth instead of God's words being established. See Psalm 119, verse 89. That's be our first reference so that you can see. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Or established in heaven. But what about here on the earth? Do you know how God's word gets established here on the earth? When we speak it. And did you know that the angels of God only respond to the word of God? And how many messes we've got into? And we were counting on them helping us out, but we never gave them anything to work with. And they'll just sit there like this. Looking on, waiting for us to speak the word of God so that they can go to work on our behalf. Did you know that the angels are our servants? Angels are called of God and created of God to serve us. They have an easy job with some of us because we never give them any job assignments. Wonder if they get bored. They'd probably eat angel food cake or something, or heavenly hash ice cream maybe. I don't know. But we let them off the hook too easy. Oh, goodness. Chock full of nuts, the heavenly coffee. Yes. Think of all kinds of spiritual things, you know, in our natural diets. In 1 Peter 5:8, have a look at that. Very familiar verse to many of us. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to be his breakfast or his lunch or his dinner. But did you know that our words can determine whether he's going to have us or not? If we hang the welcome mat on around our neck, we're just looking for trouble, and we've done that oftentimes with our words. It's like we give him permission, because he doesn't have any from God. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. And he has no power and authority over the believer. We have power and authority over him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The world's filled with tribulation and trouble and evil, but it doesn't have to get down on the inside of us. And we don't have to succumb to his attacks. And actually, verse 9 is rather remarkable. He says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, all over the world, brothers and sisters in the faith, come under attacks, come under assault, go through hard times, go through good times, but everybody has stuff going on." But the nifty thing is we don't have to glorify it in a conversation with somebody, and we try to outdo each other with how bad things are. And remember last week, I talked about the three my's, my arthritis, my diabetes, and what was the other one? Do you remember? You see, this is what gives a window of opportunity. When we lay claim to it, we possess it. It's like Jesus bore all of our infirmities and carried our sickness and diseases upon the cross. So they're no longer ours. They're his. He took them.
Thank you, Lord.
He took them upon himself.
Amen.
So what we're really doing when we say things like that is we're taking it back. Oh, sorry, you can't have that one. I'm going to a meeting this week and I want to talk about that. I'm going to want to talk about my arthritis. I'll tell you, those itis brothers, they're a pain in your joints. That's all they're good for, to stir up trouble and make you ache and pain. But you go around talking about my arthritis, it's like a badge of honor. Wow, look at how my arm. That's my arthritis working right there, girl. Yeah. And we do that with our mouths and we don't even realize we're doing it. And of course, it's like confession number one. I tried it and it just keeps getting worse. Keep talking about it and they'll both be like that. That's not a good place. That's not a funny thing to happen. But when we use those words over a period of time and we get the same results and we're praying, "Oh Lord, deliver me out of this mess," and then the next words out of our mouth is, "Oh, I really hope you do it, Lord. I mean, I fasted today and I read my ABCs and whatever. You know, I got my gold star in Sunday school last week." Now, God doesn't answer prayer like that. He answers prayers that are spoken and released in faith. Did you ever read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11? "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So when you pray, going back to Mark chapter 11, when you pray, believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see it. Some of you have caught that now. We've learned that together about as soon as you pray, that's when you thank God for the answer to that prayer. Don't wait until you see it. You do it right then. When you pray, believe that you receive. That's really important. And that's where prayer with thanksgiving. Hopefully I've been effective. And when I pray for all of you, you know, when we've all prayed together oodles of times. And always, if I've prayed for you once for something, at that time, you always hear me say, "Thank you, Father." Because I know that if we don't do it then it's not settled. We're waiting to see it happen before we thank God. And that's where that gives the enemy wiggle room to get in there and hinder prayers, and then we try to make all kinds of excuses for it. But we don't want to do that. Okay, so let's go to... we're going to look at our charts now. Speaking words of faith, spoken in agreement with God. Because this is where it's really key. Jesus talked a lot about being in agreement. And I really would like to learn to be more effective in the words that I choose and speak them in agreement with God, because it's His word that really is going to be the power factor in our lives. It will loose or release the Holy Spirit, God and His angels to operate on our behalf. And that's really what we're really after. So in answer to number one, I tried it and it didn't work for me. Well, you have a couple scriptures that we can read so that you can kind of see the flip side of that and learn to begin to speak something different. So let's go over to Galatians chapter 6. And you might be quickened to the Holy Spirit to perhaps pick a different scripture. I don't have the copyright on this word, so I wouldn't be offended if somebody else had a different verse, as long as it undoes your confession of sample one. Yes, who strengthens me? Amen. That's right. So Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That really addresses the issue. You see, I tried it and it didn't work. It's like I went to the store to buy a pair of shoes and I tried them all on, but they all hurt my feet, so I just gave up putting on shoes. Hence, I work barefoot all the time. Just you don't try, you do it. Because if you're just trying, that lets the enemy know that you're not really all that confident, you're not really all that sure, and he can just interject things into that to keep that situation from changing and to get you discouraged to the point of despondency and just flat out giving up. And that's what he's after. So take this word, let us not be weary in well-doing. That can be actions as well as words. I do all this work for somebody and they never say thank you. Well, whoop-de-doo. Thank you is nice. But aren't we told in the Word that whether in word or deed we're to do all to the glory of God? It's God who's going to thank you. It's God who's going to show you his favor upon your lives. It's nice. I like doing stuff and people thanking me. But I know better that there's a spiritual truth beyond that. I'm not going to get that from every person, and that's not my motive. If it happens, that's great. But that isn't my motive. Brian. Oh, yes.
No matter what you do.
Yes. Yes, that was on our business cards when we had our painting business. All work done to the glory of God, and unsaved people hired us to work too. And then we had a chance to tell them why we called it New Life Painting. I enjoyed that. We're coming back to 6:9. In due season, we'll reap. But that means you got to be in it for the long haul. You got to know that it's going to work. Why? Because God said so. That's the only reason we need to know anything, is because God said so.
That's right.
He's not going to come up with a new plan just for Rick. And you're not so special that he'll do that for you either. His word is his word is his word. Whatever he said, that's what he will do. He will never do contrary to his word. So you find scriptures to start changing the way you might have said something. Because if we keep saying, I tried it and it didn't work, well, it never will. Because all you're doing is trying instead of doing. I always know when somebody, these are little pastor's secrets. You hardly ever hear this because we don't usually talk about all our stuff among the pastors in our area. You can always tell when somebody's is conning you. So don't try it. I'm beyond that. Okay? But they'll say, well, I'll try to come next Sunday. I already know they're planning on sleeping in. Because if you have to try to come, you ain't planning on coming. Because if you're planning on coming, I'll be there. And you release your faith, and God will make that way for you. Oh. And I just smile. I never get upset. I just know, oh, what are they going to miss? What will I miss because you didn't come? I love you guys. Where else can we hang out and have so much fun with heavy-duty words sometimes? You know, we can handle this. God enables us to. All right, the next one is Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews, the coffee chapter. Okay. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. A profession is when you profess something, when you vocalize it, when you speak it out, when you say it. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Remember what James, that little five-chapter book, that's the gotcha book in the back of the Bible almost, and he's talking about, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, but will give it liberally to those who ask in faith, not wavering. And he said, he that wavers is like the waves of the sea, torn and tossed in the wind. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. If you waver, God doesn't know what to do. One day you're hot, one day you're cold. One day you're up, one day you're down. And he starts working on your behalf, and then you mess it all up and undo it. And he goes, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe God would say such a thing. I can't believe he would do that. He's supposed to change when I change. No. I found it doesn't really work that way. He says he's the Lord that doesn't change. So where does that leave us? That means we need to come into compliance with what his word says and don't keep changing it. If you change your confession from day to day, then you're wavering, you're unstable, you're unsteady. It's like walking with one shoe on and one shoe off, and eventually you'll just walk in a big circle because one leg's longer than the other. When you do that, spiritually speaking. And if it were the other way around, God will either shorten the long one or lengthen the short one. But one way or the other, he wants you walking nice and even in your faith. So, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That's why we need to learn and speak according to the word, what's written in the word, because that way, those are promises that God gave us. So we base our speech on what God has promised. And when we speak that and speak it over our lives, that releases. You know, we were doing that last praise song about, and actually we even started with filling this place with his anointing and with his presence and the wonderful Holy Spirit songs. Well, one of the ways to do that is, well, I got to mow the lawn. Not really sure if I'm going to make it to church on time, and he'll probably go until 12:30. By then, it'll be raining, so I don't know. Well, I hope the Holy Ghost will be there. You know, and all these mind thoughts that the enemy plants in our heads, well, they're all lies. They're all lies. Because that's all he knows how to speak. He's a liar and the father of it. Jesus said so. So that's good enough for me. He gave his report. That's all I need. The devil's rap sheet. He's a liar and the father of it. And there's no truth in him. I know enough about him. And I know that Jesus kicked his butt at the cross. And that he will never have the victory over my life. Never. I will not. I'm stubborn when it comes to the word. I'm stubborn. I will not give in. I will not bow my knee to anything that's contrary. If I've learned it, it's settled. And that was another thing. When I got saved, I didn't even want a Bible before I got saved. When I didn't know the Lord, I just wanted to live for hell and all the fun I could get along the way. That's who I was. Sex and drugs and rock and roll party life. And then I got saved, and all of a sudden, how suddenly the Word of God became instantly, I just accepted it. I received it. And I didn't even have any understanding yet. But I said, if God said it, that's what it is. That's good. That's all I need to know. If he said it, then the truth has been established. And I like what Kenneth Hagin said too. One of my grandpas in the faith. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then he went a step further. He says, whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. Because you see, we're not going to change the word. The word will change us. And I have another teaching on faithfulness. And do we put our word above our name and above our reputation? Are we so diligent and so desperate to keep our word, the words that we've released out of our mouth and made promises to people? Will we defend that word that we spoke and do everything we can to ensure that it comes to pass? Because that's part of being an imitator of our Heavenly Father. Because God honors His word even above His name. Do we honor our words above our name, above our reputation? So I'm glad you brought that up, because that'll probably come out somewhere along in here. Okay, it's getting worse, and I get this word. I get word pictures all the time. If you've never noticed, when I think of a person who confesses it's getting worse, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody else to say, "See, I told you so. It's got worse. I told you it was going to happen." And they'll run with that bad news so you can rejoice. Oh, I just love that person. Everything they say comes to pass. Don't prophesy over my life. I don't know what's going to come out of the mouth. So they're looking, really subconsciously, they're looking for someone to wallow in that with them. So that they can, it's almost like getting into a circle of people and all they talk about is bad news, so that they can discourage each other with all the bad news. Yep, and you always notice who shows up, the same three unwelcome guests, me, myself, and I. Good, you're learning. Yeah, so you already have a party. Well, let's have a prayer party.